You are listening to the Not So Weird podcast. I'm Adam.
And I'm Kata.
We're a father and daughter team who has decided to reconnect by launching this podcast.
We are here to have a good time and to be transparent about the things that make us weird, and also to spend more time with each other.
More time with each other, absolutely. It's been a moment. We took a bit of a gap for good reason. You moved house. Yeah. The Not So Weird Studio East has moved.
Yep, that's true. It feels special to be recording a new episode in my new house. So that's very cool.
So this is the first episode in the new studio, which is your new house. That's awesome. But before we get to our topic and talk more about your move, we have some shout outs, don't we? Somebody? Anybody?
People are listening. I just wanted to shout out Alex, who told me that he's listened to every single episode that we've made. And he shared some really interesting feedback with me. He said the last two episodes that we did were his favorites. And that was the people who inspire us and then the unique foods. He says he doesn't agree with the cottage cheese and ketchup, though.
Don't knock it till you try it.
That's true. Who knows? Maybe he has tried it. Different strokes for different folks. Thank you, Alex, for being like a mega fan and listening to every single episode. That was incredibly humbling and also cool to hear your feedback that you can hear our growth. So thank you.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of it is about rolling with the change, and a lot of change is happening now. In fact, for you, you've moved into a new house, a new home. You have a new surrounding. It must feel weird. Tell us about your move.
Yeah. Thanks for wanting to know. I lived in a bungalow for about 4 years. And I decided to buy a house last year. It's a long story, but I just moved in this past week. I was renting it out for a while. And it was funny because I just moved like 20 feet down the road, same street and everything. I just switched houses. And yeah, it has been a journey. It was a downsize. So I went from 1,500-ish square feet to 900 square feet. So it's been very crazy, first of all, to move and just see every single piece that you own, to put your hands on every single thing that you've accumulated and see it all, and then move it into another space and then try to find storage solutions and where everything goes in a different layout. Something that I've been noticing is I'm like, man, I am ready to embark on a journey to live with so much less. Yeah, just to have intentionality with what I have so that I can focus on what's important. And I know you went through a move. Did you feel that way? Like, oh my gosh, I want to get rid of things.
Well, like you, we moved around the corner, less than a mile from where we had been living for 8 years. We bought a house. So it's just around the corner, which was great. So a lot of things didn't change. But even just moving down the street or next door, it's a move. And you accumulate so much stuff over the time you live someplace. Sometimes you don't even know where you received this, or even if it's yours, maybe it's something that was there before you got there. There was some of that stuff that was mixed into. And some of the stuff was still in boxes from the previous move 8 years ago that I still have in the same box in my garage now. And for us, I had left 30 days. So I bought the house, but I kept my rental for an extra month just so we could move slowly. And it took almost the entire month for me. And I know that others will just do it all at once and get it done with in one big thing and get help and all of that. I decided to have help for just the big stuff. But the majority of the things I did little at a time, car at a time, and it took forever. I don't know if I'll ever do that again, but it took forever. I had squirreled away so much stuff, and I made so many trips to Goodwill and to the other places that accept stuff, between clothes I don't wear anymore, stuff I never use anymore, things that don't interest me. It's funny, our stuff, it's the result of all of the things that interested us. And over time, sometimes the things that interested us 5 years ago don't interest us anymore, but you still have all that stuff and you can't bear to get rid of it. But you just have to put your foot down, especially in a downsizing, just say it's just not going to fit. Right. Either I keep it or you don't. And then when you get rid of all your stuff, you realize, oh, I still need some stuff. Yeah. So you have to get other stuff.
Yes, I've been going through that because I'm in this mode of I just want to donate everything. I'm like, whoa, hold on, girl. You do need some furniture, so don't get rid of it all. So I have to ask, because your move was very close by, just like mine, did you pack things when you were bringing carfuls over? Did you put things in boxes or did you throw things in the car and then bring them into the house?
We actually brought one thing at a time.
I did too. And I wish I hadn't done it that way. It took forever.
Yeah, we did. I got a lot of boxes. So we packed a lot of boxes and I would bring five or six boxes at a time and a few things. So, you know, I have a Honda Fit, which is not the biggest car, but a lot can fit in there. And I'd bring a car full of stuff at a time. But it wasn't like, now we're going to do the kitchen. Now we're going to do the bedroom. It was like a little bit from everywhere. And sometimes boxes got packed that way. Oh, I need to find a place that this fits into. And now it's, oh my God, how come this beer mug is in with my running gear? It's because it fit, right? So you forget where everything is. And I had this big mountain of boxes in my garage for the longest time, which is now a smaller mountain of boxes in my garage. So there's more room in the garage, but still it took me a long time to unpack. Because when I first moved into the house and it was all empty, I kind of like loved it because it wasn't cluttered and it wasn't filled with all our stuff. And now that we're unleashing the stuff into the house, I kind of miss having it like when you first buy the house, it's completely empty. Imagine moving a place without any stuff and you just leave it that way.
Some people on YouTube do that. They go through these very extreme minimalist journeys and they're like,
I own one pillow and this is where I sit one and this fork. Is where I sleep.
Think about the folks who live in mobile vehicles like vans and cars or the Sprinter van conversions. And they also kind of do the same thing. They don't shop very often. So they have the stuff that they need and they have good stuff. It's just, they just have the essential stuff because anything you bring in, something else has to go because there's a spot for everything when you have such smaller space. And now you've downsized, what, like 500 or 600 square feet? So you basically lost a room in your house, maybe two.
Right? I did. Yeah. I lost two rooms and a little more space, but honestly, it's been so nice because I have three cats and they are forced to be around me now. So they have to accept my love, which is great. But also cleaning takes 2 seconds. On the flip side, it's very easy for things to get out of control when you're living in a small space. You definitely have to stay on top of it, but it also only takes 2 seconds to clean. So
priority.
Well, I know that from staying in Airbnbs when you get a really big place versus a really small place. I don't know if you've ever gotten an Airbnb and it's like just a single room with a kitchen.
Yes. Tiny houses.
It's really easy because when you leave, you can only bring so much stuff. It makes it a whole lot more convenient. And if you spend a lot of time running around, that's great. But smaller spaces, if you stay home a lot, you can get a little stir crazy sometimes in the spaces if you don't have the room, but you have a big backyard.
I do. I've got a huge backyard. So I actually picked this house in particular because of the yard. I just really love spending time outside. And to be honest, I don't spend enough time outside. I live in Florida where half of the year the weather is absolutely gorgeous. And I was like, if I get this really tiny house with a really big yard, I am going to want to be outside all the time, gardening, like, and that was something I wanted to welcome into my life. I chose this house and I'm choosing to let go of stuff so that I can have something different. It was like, I couldn't have it all. I had to let go of something. But yeah, thank you for remembering. The yard is pretty huge. I think it's at least as big as the house, if not twice as big.
So tell us about the yard. Is it just a flat yard? Is there grass? Do you have a tree? Is there a patio?
So my yard is like a big brick paver patio. It's got like this big paved area and then a lot of very intentional grass. And it's got this huge tree in the back that is called a pink tabuya tree. So in the springtime, it just explodes with flowers and it kind of looks like a cherry blossom tree, but the flowers are a little differently.
Yeah, it sounds beautiful.
It is so gorgeous. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to remove that tree, but I'm going to plant another one because I think it's so cool.
Is it because of the roots?
In Florida, you know, we get the hurricanes and everything. So I think during one of the last hurricanes, it became like a little bit uprooted and it's growing sideways. Looks very much like it wants to fall on my house. I do not want it to fall on my house, so unfortunately, I have to take it down. But yeah, it's a nice little area. It's like a blank canvas. I'm really excited to like do some vegetable gardening. I've already got like some fruit trees out there and some herbs. So
Now, do you have furniture for the back?
I have nothing. It is a barren wasteland out there.
So you really have a blank canvas. So you can get like a table and chairs and get an overhang. Like we built a pergola on our house, which is so great to create some shade. You know what that's like. You had one in your old house.
Oh, your backyard is epic now. You should talk about that.
Yeah, our backyard was a project. We just really wanted to build some stairs because we have this fairly steep slope that comes right out of the back door. And then most of our yard is at a much lower level, about 50, 60 feet, maybe even more. And it was so steep that you basically have to run down kind of like a sledding hill, but it doesn't snow here. And it was a bit of a hassle. So we had a guy come in and put in some stairs, but it ended up looking like the Taj Mahal. The brickwork, it's amazing. And the view is just epical. Like I have this big mountain behind my house and it's quite dramatic. So you walk out on there and we still haven't planted anything in the beds, but we'll get there. It's spring now. We're going to be shopping for trees. We have a grapefruit tree and a fig tree that are just in buckets that we're going to put in. And we had some irrigation done. And I think we want to get a hyacinth tree, which is a flowering tree.
Ooh, cool.
And we have a dwarf lemon tree and we have a nectarine tree that's already in there. And I think we have an avocado plant that could become a tree. Eventually, we'll have some fruiting trees in the ground. Now we've just got these big holes and with a pipe coming out of it. So each hole can be irrigated. So once we put the tree in, the water's already set.
Ah, that's so useful for California.
Yeah. And we had irrigation put in. We have these like little beds that are in the side walls and there's all irrigation in there now. Now, right now, it's just filled with weeds. As actually, we had rain today. It's rainy season, which is rare. We get 1 or 2 months with rain and it's not a lot of rain and then it's going to be dry maybe one more month and we'll be dry until next December or next October. It's going to be really dry and everything gets crispy and crunchy and that's when we have all the fire issues and stuff like that. But we'll get it straight and we'll get it straight. Eventually, you know, I want to put a fire pit maybe in the bottom, make it really nice. Maybe a little greenhouse. The dogs love it. We also have this little teeny lawn that kind of looks like a pet golf.
It's so cute. I love that lawn.
The dog loves it. And we have irrigation around it, like these little spouts. I was worried because water is so expensive here and it's such a little lawn. It's costing us about $10 more of water every month. Totally worth it just to have this little kind of putt-putt lawn.
I would totally pay an extra $10 a month for that.
Yeah, it's a lawn. It's a space, but everything's dirt everywhere. And your neighbors all have dirt. It almost looks like a little skating rink, but it's grass. And the bunnies come at night and eat it. So we don't have to mow it. It stays nice and tight. It kind of looks like a golf green.
Wait, is it real grass?
It's real grass. Yeah.
I thought it was fake. I was like, oh no, the bunnies are eating it? That cannot be good for them.
It's real grass.
It looks so beautiful and like vibrant and green that I just always thought it was fake.
No, it's real. We take care of it. Like it's a really nice little thing there. But the bunnies do all of the cutting. They just eat it because it's the only place that has beautiful green grass. For now, it's still green. It might dry out in the summertime when it gets really hot. But for now, it's still green. And we'll put a picture of this on our website. When you have a chance, go to notsoweird.com and you can take a look at this.
At your awesome putt lawn.
And it's really for the dogs. It's definitely built for the dogs. They love it. Cho-Cho will go down there and sploot out. You know, it's paradise for them. That's my role on this planet, is to create paradise for these three dogs. That's what it feels like sometimes. We're a slave to these dogs.
You really bought the house for them.
So you've gone through this whole adventure of downsizing, of getting rid of a lot of stuff, probably stuff that had a lot of meaning to you, right?
That's an interesting question. So I did let go of a lot of things that I've held on to for a while. So they did have a little bit of sentimentality because it was like, oh man, I remember when I got this. I was in my early 20s. This was my first real big furniture piece that I ever bought. But you know what? Once you get practiced in donating stuff, it gets a lot easier. Kind of the life-changing magic of tidying up. Have you heard about that book by Marie Kondo?
Yeah, I've read it. I've read that book and I read the book that inspired her too. I read both those books.
Oh, snap. You're like, not only did I read it, I read the inspiration.
Yeah. And you know what I did after I finished both of those books?
Huh?
I put them on the shelf.
You didn't donate one thing?
No. I just tidied up. I put them, well, I moved, but I put them on the shelf and I tidied up and that was it. Like put them away as one should.
That's a great first step. I think that's perfect. Marie Kondo, what she says is that once you get on a roll with it, like you start with the easier things, and then once you're used to just donating stuff, it becomes a lot easier. So it becomes like this inertia of letting go. So I was able to let go of a lot, and I thought that I would miss these things. They had a little bit of sentimentality, but it was mostly just stuff. And in the end, when I'm sitting here in my living room and I only have a couple pieces in it, I look around and I'm like, this feels good. I really like this. I feel like I'm more focused. I feel like it lets me just get a couple pieces that I really care about. And it just feels nice to not be so surrounded by things. I thought I would miss things way more than I actually do.
That leads me to my first point. I asked myself, do we really own our stuff, or does our stuff own us? When you bring something into your life, now you are a slave to that thing. If you buy a really fancy or big car, right? You have to maintain that car. You have to take care of that thing. Mm-hmm. And in a way, you are now the slave to that thing. You always have to have a place for that thing. You always have to think, okay, where is that thing right now, and maintain that thing. And when you get rid of your things, all that stuff goes away in your mind, and you're free just to be whoever you are and be where you are, rather than when you travel and you leave your stuff behind, there's always part of your mind that's thinking about all that stuff, even if it's subconsciously and you've mostly forgotten about it in the front. Somewhere deep in there, you have all this stuff.
I could even take that in a different direction too. I heard the quote by James Clear, and he says, your behavior, what you do every single day, is a vote towards the person who you want to be. What you do is who you are. So to your point, if what you do is take care of your stuff all the time, that becomes part of who you are. Like, what do you do in your free time? I take care of my car. You have to really enjoy doing that, or else it's just this cycle you get into without even thinking about it. All right, time to go take care of the car, even though I would rather be watching Netflix or whatever.
That's a good way of looking at it, that the stuff that you own influences your behavior, in a sense, becomes part of who you are. And certainly I surround myself with the stuff that defines who I think myself to be. So I have lots of pencils and markers and microphones and cameras and things like that to do podcasting or to do artwork or to do the things that I like to do. I have always a lot of books around me. I can't seem to get rid of books. Those are things that I will make space for, because you can always make a shelf. And I actually feel comfortable surrounded by lots of books. Not that I really look at books anymore. Most of the books I read are on my Kindle, which I love because it's so much easier to keep track of where you are and keep everything on there. But there's something that's joyous about having the paper around you. I love paper so much, at least some of it. Mm-hmm. And that was probably the toughest thing for me to get rid of, are books. But I do. I always do. And I actually, every year I go through and some things I buy two or three times because I've donated them, rid of them, and then I realize I wanted them. I think I've gotten rid of too much.
It's like that same energy as when you read the directions to a microwavable food item and then you're like, I'll remember it. And you throw it in the recycle bin and you're like, I don't remember it. And you pull it back out and then you don't remember it.
That's the great thing about our phones, right? We can look up anything. And I spend most of the time actually just grabbing information off my phone and into my brain. I imagine a lot of people are listening to this podcast that way. And I listen to a lot of podcasts. So I don't even need the books really, but I just like having them around me. But does our stuff own us? Absolutely. It defines us in a way. Mm-hmm. And how do we avoid becoming slaves to all of our stuff? Well, you have to audit your stuff every once in a while. You have to go through it and decide, is it worth keeping this? Because after a while, there's almost like a duty tax. You're carrying all this stuff with you. And when you move, you learn that lesson. Like, why did I keep this? I watch these shows. I love watching these shows on YouTube where folks go and they'll go to auctions and they bid on default storage units. Like, people walk away. They don't pay for their storage unit with all their stuff in it, mostly filled with junk. But every once in a while, they'll buy one and they'll find stuff that they can actually resell. So they might spend like $150, $200 on a abandoned storage unit and open it up and find a baseball bat that's worth $1,000 inside. Super rare, but people buy these and they open them like treasure chests and they put this on YouTube. And it's just amazing when I think about a lot of these abandoned storage units are just filled with junk, like cheap junk.
People can't get rid of.
Yeah, they just can't throw it away, but they keep it and they pay for it in the storage. And I understand you might lose your house, you're going somewhere, you're traveling, you want to keep the stuff. There comes a line that we have to draw. Is it really worth paying for storage when it would be cheaper just to get, like, give that stuff to someone else and then get the stuff when you need it? And that's something I've learned over time, that you almost like you rent the stuff. You keep your stuff when you need it, but you're not taking it with you when we get to leave and move on to the next thing. So the stuff we have is really, you have to be careful because it can define you. And then there's the stuff that I like to call heirlooms, like heirloom tomatoes, heirlooms, the stuff that you would hand down. It's so important. Mm-hmm. Do you have any stuff like that you have that's so precious to you that you don't care how small your house is? That stuff's coming with me, right? Because it's so important to you.
I do have some heirlooms, and this is such an interesting topic. I would be especially interested to know what are some heirlooms of our listeners, because I feel like for each person, it's just got to be so different depending on their family or their interests or what they deem important. For me, I have a lot of items from my grandma, so your mom. In my bedroom, I have a rug from her house. It's a hand-knotted, maybe an Afghan rug, and it's really high quality. I'm constantly shooing the cats off of it from, like, scratching it all up, but it's beautiful. It's not completely my style. It looks like grandma a little bit, but every time I look at it, I think about growing up going to that house, and I remember the room, I remember the feelings, I remember the texture, and it just makes me really happy every time that I see it. And I don't care if it goes with my decor. I don't care if it's the wrong size for the room. I will bring that with me until it disintegrates, which is probably never, because Afghan rugs are really well made. So it's probably going to outlast me. But I also have, let's see, what would be another heirloom? I have a terrarium that I've been building. I've been posting about it online. It's like my little passion project.
It's gorgeous.
So it's like this big, heavy Victorian terrarium that I spent so much money on. But you know what? It's okay to spend money on things that you love. And it looks almost like there should be like a little critter in there, like a lizard or a frog, but it's just for plants. I've got a humidifier going in there. There's a little temperature gauge and a heater. And it's just like a little exhibit for plants. And my house is so tiny, but I still managed to build like a shrine for it. So it's like the one thing in my house right now that really stands out. It's, just this shining backlit terrarium. So that'll probably come with me for a while. Then honestly, I'm looking around and there's really not too much else. I have the tiniest items that have sentimental value, because sentimentality is a really big thing with me. So I have some dried flowers from my sister's wedding. I have some feathers from chickens I've owned in the past. I have a really cool, I'm just actually looking all around me right now to find all these things. I have a really cool mug from an artist in North Carolina that I don't actually use as a mug because I'm terrified of breaking. It looks like an alien person, but also a Mayan person at the same time. Just it's got six
eyes. So that's going to be given down to generations, that mug with six eyes.
Totally. They're going to be like, grandma is weird. She likes really weird shit. What are your heirlooms?
I don't have a lot of them. I don't. I have a lot of cool stuff. I always thought, like, I have an incredible collection of guitars, but they're just instruments. And it's the person who plays the guitar. I really do love them, but I don't consider them part of an heirloom. I think the things that are irreplaceable to me, I have a very small box of drawings that I've been doing in artwork and prints that I've been making that are things that I've made. So those are the things, that box is important in it.
Right.
So if I have to run, I grab this box. And Kata can see me on a video that we have connecting each other. But this box is filled with drawings and pictures that I've done by hand.
So look at that.
Yeah, and it's a leather box, right? So this
original works.
Yeah, it's original work. Right? The original artwork that I care about. That I like. It's good enough. It goes in the box, and the box is small, so there's not a whole lot that I really care about, you know, of things. I also have another thing. And that is this little brass owl.
Oh, he's Athens. Cute.
Yeah, this was on Pop Pops, your grandfather's desk. And super heavy. It's solid brass.
I think I keep it near that. Me.
This is like my spirit owl with a kind of blue stone on it. It's really cool. It's super heavy.
Yeah, it's super cool. It looks like Nicolas Cage would find it in National Treasure or something.
And it's solid brass. It's like really heavy metal. And I love this thing. I keep it near me. I have the watch that my father was wearing when he passed. He was watch. I have that watch. And it's just a Timex. Mm-hmm. It's not an expensive watch. It's metal. And I don't like wearing it because it's got the little elastic.
Oh, those are the worst. They snap your hairs.
Yeah. Oh, but he loved that thing. He would wear it all the time. And even when he was sick, he wouldn't leave without his watch on. I'm like, why do you need a watch? You need to know what time it is.
He was just so tough. He didn't even feel his arm hairs being snagged.
No. Yeah, I have that. And that's important to me. And maybe a few other things, but there's really not a whole lot. But certainly photographs. I have a box like that of photographs that I've just collected. Not that I look at photographs that often, but I'm old enough to live in a time before digital everything, and you would have a camera with film and then you'd have the photos developed, and that's all we have. So those are the heirlooms for me, just, you know, to remember those things. And that's the thing that would get passed down. But now I think more and more as we go, our heirlooms become digital, like the NFTs, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you could have these pictures that have great value to them. And more, it's going to be digital recordings and digital videos and digital photos and digital moments that are captured our voice. So my heirloom will be all of my podcasts that I've recorded.
Wow, that's an interesting thought.
My Google library, like I use Google Drive, so I've got everything backed up and you can, you know, that'll go to the world and you'll inherit that too. Like you'll inherit digital collections. And now a lot of service providers, they actually have an inheritance program where you can put in, if you pass, who it goes to. So they're not locked out of all of those digital.
That is just so recent. That blows my mind. Yeah. That's a thing.
The future is digital heirlooms and online heirlooms and virtual heirlooms and meta heirlooms that are in the virtual space. It's going to be crazy. Look what I got from grandpa. Oh, that's 2028, 2037. You're like,
grandma left me this gif of a sparkling wand that makes a noise.
Yeah, and you got to wear goggles to see it. It doesn't actually exist, but it's a real thing. In the digital space, we're just defining that now physical things become less important in a way.
Yeah.
And the usefulness of that thing and like the memory is the thing that's so valuable. The memory that we carry with us, the meaning we ascribe to things, but the things itself are not. I mean, diamonds are just really hard, shiny rocks. That's mm-hmm. all. And somebody decided that they were really valuable. Yeah, there's not a lot of them, but you know, why diamonds? Why not?
There are other sparkly rocks.
Yeah,
that's always gotten me too. Who decided that one was the one? You could decide at any moment that another one is just as good.
I've got another one just like that. Weeds. Oh, weeds. You got to get rid of weeds. Kill all weeds. I'm like, what makes something a weed? Isn't that discrimination? Like versus a plant. No, that's plant. That's something you want to keep.
Right. But this one is invasive, though.
We're going to put Roundup on it and kill it. Some weeds are beautiful. And why are they called weeds?
Clovers are the coolest. Did you know that clovers, first of all, you can eat clovers. Sorry, I'm going to take us on a journey a little bit.
Yes, but do you really want to eat clovers? You got to wash them because dogs pee on clovers.
That is very true. So you can eat clovers. I don't know if you necessarily should eat clovers. Unless you know, without a doubt, a dog has not peed on it. But something I love about clovers is they close up at nighttime and they turn into these tiny little umbrellas. And then in the daytime, they open back up again. They're so cute.
Yeah, they're cool.
They're so cool.
Interesting. And so are weeds. Many weeds are beautiful, but they're a little too evasive. So we decide because these plants are highly motivated. They're bad.
Why are we out here killing the highly motivated plants?
We only want plants that are like to die and are a pain in the ass, right? Those are the great ones. But if it's too easy to grow, no, it's not good. You got to get rid of them. And some plants are really a pain in the butt, especially with my dogs. They go and they get stuck or they get in their fur and the seeds are a pain. There's actually a real reason, or some plants are evasive that wipe out other plants and we call those weeds. But I always wondered, man, once something gets deemed as a weed, I've always looked at it. My mom would say, go pick the weeds. I'm like, why? These are plants too. why are these plants good and those plants not? They all, to me, looked like plants. But
I totally get that from you. I would do the same thing.
That makes some plants better than others. And I think that's segregation. So I believe in plant equality.
I personally think that's rude. So we should stop doing that.
Yeah. Weeds matter.
Oh, to bring us back to what we were talking about earlier, I found it interesting that all of our heirlooms have to do with people and the memories more so than their monetary value.
There's a connection to people.
Yeah, it's all going back to this idea that like actual human connection and togetherness is more important than things. These things remind us of the people, which gives them value.
That's right.
That's what makes them so special. And I feel like at the end of the day, it's not really the things that are important. It's the memories. It's the people.
So these things are the keys or the triggers that help us remember the things that really matter. So really, it's the memory that matters. And the object is just the key for the memory.
Yeah.
And so keys can be small. That's why I really like the owl that I have because it's tiny. I like heirlooms that are tiny and you could put in your pocket. I would say I would love it if everyone's heirloom could fit in a shoebox. And that's about it. And that makes sense. Where some people like, oh no, this is my truck or my, you know, I'm going to get my truck down. And eventually truck is going to turn into garbage or decay. But something that is small can be protected. It's more precious.
You want to know the most adorable thing that's coming to my mind right now? One of my friends has a shell collection, and you think of shell collections and you think of just like giant bins of dusty shells that you never open again or look at tucked up somewhere in your closet. But her shell collection is in this small, teeny, tiny box. It looks like a box that could hold a quarter. Like it's so small and you open it up and her shell collection is full of shells that are like smaller than your pinky fingernail.
Oh, so the micro shells.
Yes.
Yeah, that you see in the sand and you look at them and whoa, that looks like a perfect X shell, certain kind of shell, but it's tiny.
Yes. She collects the smallest seashells and every time she goes to the beach, she comes home with a tiny grain of rice sized shell and
yeah, it's
in
great.
A small little box and she yeah. puts her small little box on the counter.
Is there a whole sculpture collection, yeah, fit, you know, in the palm of your hand, which is amazing. I like that. It's, again, downsizing, right? It's downsizing mm-hmm. everything you own because it's about the memories and the connection to the experience, not the thing itself that makes it so important. Because each time she looks at each one of those shells, it reminds her of the time she spent at the beach, which is just an extraordinary experience. So she took a little bit back of it. I knew someone who would collect sand and would go to beaches all around the world and just get like a film canister and scoop up some sand, put a piece of tape on it, write it. And then each canister was wherever that person went. It was an AV tech that I knew and had a bag just full of sand from all the greatest beaches around the world.
Where did he store it?
In the bag, just a camera bag, just full of sand.
That's a tough move. Like,
yeah, but it's little film canisters. They're tiny. The little, like oh. these put film in.
Okay, gotcha. I'm just imagining him sticking his little pinky toe like in the film canister to have that experience again.
Yeah. Or you're stuck in a hotel room. It's like, I've got Maui right here. I come in a little bit of Hawaii. Just put it out on a plate. And, yeah, you put your hand in there. I'm on the beach. This is sand from Hawaii, but it just happens to be I'm stuck in, you know, the airport.
That's absurd, and I love it.
You can walk around with all the beaches in your world. We should sell a kit. We should go around and fill in sand and then sell people sand and skate. I saw that. I saw, you know, Woodstock was a big concert in the 60s. This crazy thing. Everybody knows Woodstock. And I saw this crazy ad. They're selling the stage of Woodstock. You can get a necklace, and it's a disc made out of plywood. Oh. And it has a peace sign on it, but they got pieces of supposedly the stage. It could have been an outhouse. Who knows what it was? They cut them into discs and now they're selling them throughout.
Wow.
A piece of the stage at Woodstock. But I like the idea of having sand. That seems more authentic than a piece of plywood that's 60, 70 years old.
Although that is cool though. I'm going to have to look that up. I want to see what those look like.
Yeah. And also Gabby, my wife, bought a bracelet for my nephew. Jorjito, who's an incredible guitar player, and then the bracelet, I think it was a bracelet, was made out of the strings from Carlos Santana, strings off of his guitar.
Wow.
They took the strings and they made them into a bracelet. His bracelet was actually played by Carlos Santana.
No way. That's so cool.
Yeah, super cool.
Did he feel the significance of that? Did he get it?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, he's a god here. Lee Carlos Santana is Mexican. He's American, too. That's his heritage. And he's a huge hero here in California. So it's a cool thing. And there's stuff like that. And you're like, how important is it? If it's important to the person, it's important. So you're like a slave to the thing because it's the idea, not the thing, that controls you.
Mm-hmm.
You're programmed by your mind and your ideas, not by the things. The things are just things.
You just sent it home. Exactly.
Yeah. That's what it is.
Cat butt in the frame. Get out.
Yeah, there's cat butt in the mic. Can everybody hear the cat butt? Yeah, the cat is now blocking the camera. I can see a big cat butt in my face.
That is every day of my life.
It's a sign for us to wrap up the show. I didn't know where we were going to go with the show today, but we spent quite a bit of time talking about stuff and how our stuff owns us and what makes some stuff more important than other stuff in our lives. But when it comes down to it, it's really just the ideas and the experiences we have with people and how things remind us of other things. And it's not the stuff. So when you get rid of the stuff, you're just creating more room for other things to arrive.
And you're creating more focus for the things that truly do matter.
Yeah, because your stuff owns you. So if you don't have it, you don't have to think about it. You can use more of your brain focusing on the things that you're doing now. So I applaud you.
Thank you. I applaud you as well. I can't wait to see your house in person. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, someday. I hope you can come and visit. And I know how tough it is to travel and run around just because we're so busy. And it's really not fun traveling right now. But one day you will come and you get to see the stuff that's left. That'll eventually become your stuff.
I'll get to look at heirlooms.
Yeah, the box of drawings and my brass owl. Yeah, and the watch that snaps your hairs. Yeah,
right.
That's about it.
So sweet anything, heirlooms.
Awesome. Yeah, and all of the artwork. All of the art. I think that takes us to the end. We want to thank everybody for listening. If you haven't, please subscribe to the show. Let us know what you're doing. We love hearing from you. Leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you might be grabbing this podcast. Thank you so much. Tell all your friends, tell your neighbors, tell us what's going on, what heirlooms are in your life. And we'll be back soon enough. We don't know when, but it'll definitely not be a long time.
Life happens sometimes, but we're always thinking about you.
Yeah, and we're always coming back. We're not really gone.
We're still here, hanging we're out, talking here. About cat butts.
That's right. Until we are not.
That's so strangely poetic. I love it.
Yes.
Thanks for listening, and definitely tell us your heirlooms. I'm really curious because I feel like everybody has such unique heirlooms. Leave that in the Discord chat or on either of our Instagrams.
Do that. Do it. Other than that, I think we just have to say goodbye.
All right. Bye, folks.
Bye.
Bye.